The Beautiful Visit, written by Elizabeth Jane Howard and read by Juliet Stevenson.
I woke because the fur wrapped round me had slipped off my feet, which were cold. As I moved to cover them, there was a loud creak, and I discovered that my waist was encircled with a heavy leather belt. This was not at all usual, and drawing the fur up to my chin, I lay back again to think. If it came to that, I did not usually sleep in a fur rug. Lying there, the ridiculous thought occurred to me that I had just been born. She was born with a girdle round her waist, they would say, to account for her misadventures. This is the kind of absurd notion one has when half awake, but for some minutes I lay still, waking, enjoying the exquisite detachment and emptiness of my mind. It was not dark nor light, but a very fresh, early grey air, and above me I could see small round windows, uncurtained. Round windows? I looked down again and saw, a few yards away, a pair of shining black boots, which appeared never to have been worn. I was on the floor. I stretched out my left arm to touch it, and I was wearing a heavy gauntlet. The floor seemed to be shivering, or perhaps it was I who shivered. Listening, I heard a faint, indescribable sound, an unhurrying rush, a sound of quiet, continuous, monotonous movement. I imagined the noise one makes walking through long, dry grass, a little water spilt onto stone from some height, the distant, drum-like murmur of a crowd ceaselessly conferring. Surely I must be the only person in the tremendous silence lying outside the small sound I could hear. I felt alone, warm and alone, in a desert or in outer space. At this, my mind pricked up its senses, and drawing the fur closely round me, I sat huddled on the floor and stared at the two round windows, which were now a perceptibly paler grey. After a moment, I rose stiffly to my feet and went to a window. There was nothing to be seen but a limitless wash of sea, breaking and glinting where it broke like steel. Above it was a paler, empty stretch of sky, divided from the sea by a straight, faint silver line. This whole round picture quivered, dipped a little, sustained the decline, and then rose again so that the original proportions of two-thirds sea, one-third sky were visible. This, very generally speaking, was where I was. But why? Where was I going? And how did I come to be here at all? I walked softly to the door, opened it and looked out. There was nothing but a dim, narrow passage. I hesitated a moment, then closing the door again, stood with my back to it, surveying the cabin where I had been sleeping. Catching sight of the boots again, I drew back the fur and looked down at myself. I was not reassured by my clothes, but clothes in which one had slept all night are not very reassuring. There was a perfectly good bed in one corner. Why had I not slept in that? I went to look at the bed. Lying in the middle of it were two fat, marbled exercise books. I remembered everything. Remembered who I was, and felt imprisoned with the knowledge that I was not free and new and empty as I had been when I woke on the floor. I stared at the two books which contained my life. I took them and sat beneath one of the windows, intending only, I think, to glance at them for the contrast they provided to my present circumstances. After all, I had little idea what would happen next. My life loomed before me, as wide with chance as it had been the day I was born.